similar vein as what he said. And let me say this too. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Yes.
Amen. And something the Lord spoke to me this week is for our church as a whole. And everyone's not here today, and that's fine. But I believe this, and I'm going to share some of this. I believe that this church, the Lord loves it, and we pack a big punch in the Spirit. People here are mighty men and women of God. I go down the list. Mighty women of God. I can go down the list. And I believe that, you know, if you're in your Bible reading plan this week, we read, I was saying I love the book of 1 Samuel. And just to provoke you to jealousy, if you're not doing it, my son's in 1 Samuel now. He's talking to Bob about that this morning. He's following with the Bible reading plan. And when they lined up all of Jesse's boys in front of the prophet Samuel, he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely this must be the Lord's anointed. Big, strong, everyone's..." And the Lord says, "Look not on his countenance. The Lord does not see as man sees. The Lord looks on the heart." And I believe that in the case for us, that this church and the people here in this church are celebrated in the heavens. I mean that from the depths of my heart. It's one of the things God spoke to me. And you're strong about it. And so I just want to encourage you, everyone that's here, everyone who's not here today, who's out doing things, you're a mighty man, you're a mighty woman of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Christina, you're a mighty woman of God. Your prayers move mountains. And I mean that with all of my heart. And so carry that with you, the confidence of who you are in Christ, the confidence of what God's given you, and the confidence that, as he said, that, you know, I say this, the kingdom is his purpose. God uses local churches as his instrument. And he combines and he connects people. And I believe this church packs a big punch. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to share something on similar vein. And the Lord actually gave this to me when I was looking through we were in Joshua in our Bible reading plan. You can turn with me to the book of Joshua. I don't think I've preached out of it since I've been here. Joshua chapter 3 and 4. But as I was reading through our Bible plan whenever we were in Joshua, the Lord just spoke this message to me. I was going to do it. This was whenever it was, a month or two ago. Something else came and I quit on the shelf. And this week, the Lord really brought it back. And I'm going to talk about memorial stones that they laid. And I didn't realize this was Memorial Day weekend. And so I had this in my heart, and then I was like, oh, it's Memorial Day weekend. And so I said, I don't have a Memorial Day message. But I'm talking about memorial stones, if you read Joshua. So Joshua chapter 3, verse 17, just a quick overlay of how to read this book. Chapter 1, Joshua, he was Moses' assistant. He was commissioned by God. The people of Israel were going to go into the promised land. Chapter 2 is the great story of the faith of Rahab, the harlot. Chapter 3 is when they crossed the Jordan to go into the promised land that God had for them. And the only thing I'm going to read in chapter 3 is this. It's verse 17. It says, "Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." Okay? Just like the Red Sea, the Lord parted the Jordan. They walked through. Quick little point, it's not my message, but the ark led the way. The ark in the scriptures always speaks of where the presence of God is. David built his tabernacle. David's tabernacle worship, one of the harp and bowl meetings you see today, it's based on that. And I always say worship leads the way. Amen?
Amen.
Judah in the scripture means praise. It also means Judah plows. And I always say worship can plow. If I need a breakthrough in my life, if something's going on, the best way to do that, in a lot of respects, prayer and worship. Worship the Lord no matter how you feel, okay? And so in chapter 4, this is kind of where I want to speak at. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read a lot of the verses. Verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan," this was after the miracle happened, everyone crossed over, "that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, and place them where the priest's feet stood. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." If you go down to verse 5, it says that each one should take his stone on the shoulder. So real quick, what he was saying, everyone's crossed over. Someone from each tribe, you go in and you grab a stone that's heavy enough, not this little pebble, but something that you need to carry on your shoulder, and let's carry over where we're lodging tonight. Okay? So why did we do that? In verse 6 it says this, and I'm going to speak up more of this later, "that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." So what was he doing? He was saying, the Lord it was a miracle. Shouldn't have happened. Even the fact, if you think the Lord cleared out the Jordan, that it was dry enough for them to walk, I think the Spirit of God is often called the wind, breath of God just blew, and they were able to walk across the Jordan River. And he says, go back and take these stones from the Jordan. And when they say, why do you have, what's the meaning of these? When your kids ask in the future, it takes me back. Because this is what the Lord did. I got these from the middle of the Jordan, and I didn't go scuba diving. The Lord opened up the way. Amen? And it says this in verse 9, and it says, "Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest of the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And there they are to this day." Not only did he take 12 stones and take them to their lodging, Joshua also got 12 stones, packed them up there in the Jordan. Which I'm going to speak about that some in a minute. So I had a memorial out here in the Promised Land, faithfulness of God, and also here in the Jordan where the power of God was revealed. Okay? Alright. And it says this in verse 10 through 17. I'm not going to read all of it, but that's how when they were crossing over. And verse 18 says, "And it came to pass when the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of their feet touched dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all of its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped out in Gilgal, which is on the east border of Jericho." That's where the stones were finally laid. "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set those up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what means these stones? Then you shall let them know, Israel crossed over the Jordan on the dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." So those stones were a point of contact for future generations to what the Lord did. And one of the passages I love, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So look at those stones and say, he did this then, he can do this in my life now. And in my heart for saying this, I was chatting with someone, Andrew and I were on Monday, and they were challenging me and my wife in some areas that were good. And it's important for all of us to live in a place of thankfulness and celebrating all that God's doing in your life. And I've spoken on this before. I look and I celebrate what he's doing rather than what I think he's not doing. Amen. And I place my focus on what he's doing and where he's at. And I've already said this, but I believe as a church, I was just thinking over, you know, we often have testimonies. I mean, Brad's got a whole book full of them. Different things in our life. Different things in my life. Different things in your life. They're memorials that I can look at and say, my gosh, Amen. God is good. He's faithful. Lord, you did amazing things. Lord, you healed John's diabetes situation he had last week. You're brand new in the kingdom of God. That's a miracle. That's to be celebrated. The angels rejoice.
Let's go for it.
Talia, 11-year-old girl up here, just tears in her eyes, can't control herself. Call of God's on her life. That's to be celebrated. Julius last week, that's to be celebrated. We celebrate things that the Lord's done, the miraculous, the faithful things that God's done. And we make markers and we make barriers of it for future generations because we're generational people. Amen?
Amen.
And so I was thinking in Scripture, and I'd read this, and it's true. My son, we were here this morning, and he said, Dad, why does that say, this do in remembrance of me? And we took communion this morning. Why is this passage I read in Corinthians? Do this in remembrance of me. Memorial actually means to remember. So when I place a memorial, it means I'm doing this so I can remember something. Amen? I'm going to give you the addresses. I'm not going to read them. But in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, when he instructed them to keep the Passover, he said, this you shall do and you, as a memorial. This day shall be kept as a memorial to me. Okay? The Lord's Supper, which I just said, this do in remembrance of me. The Sabbath in Deuteronomy 5:15, he set the Sabbath so you can remember that you were once a slave in Egypt and you're not anymore. Why? When I have the Sabbath, I used to work 7 days. So why is one day important? Because you're no longer a slave. Amen? I gave you the Sabbath, the rainbow. When I see a rainbow, you're to remember the covenant God gave you. It's a memorial. Do you remember, too, when Jesus, when Mary anointed him and at Bethany and they were complaining, they said, you've wasted all of this, wasted a year's worth of fragrance. And he said, everywhere the gospel is preached, what she has done will be told as a memorial and remembrance. Amen. Everywhere the gospel, and we could go into all that, it speaks of a poured out life. But having memorials, when I say memorial, like a memorial stone, a remembrance, a point of contact with the past, is scriptural. Throughout the scriptures. Why? Because we're often prone to forget. Or to say, God, you did this, but I want this. Okay, you did this, Lord, but I'm looking for this. And I was thinking in Deuteronomy, it says this in 6:12. It says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. One of my favorite passages is Deuteronomy. It's chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. And it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. Kind of sounds like America and Europe. And dwell in them. And when the herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. We're prone. I was listening to someone this week. He was, Brother Clayton. And he was talking about, and I've heard this before, we only use just a portion of our mind. And there's something in our brain that actually after every 3 years it sets up and it kind of like you forget, start to forget stuff. And it's very possible in our lives to forget, like we sang the goodness of God this morning. I think we did. I don't know. I doubt that. But we can have a tendency to forget that the Lord did this amazing thing for me. And then I come to this season in my life and I panic because I've forgotten or I've overlooked. Things have gone well and I put those things out of my mind and I've forgotten the memorial stone that I should be laying. Lord, I remember this. I remember this. You did this. You did this. And there's just a couple little points I'm going to share. I'm not going to speak for long, but in verse 6 it says this. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? There has to be a personal expression all of our lives. I love when he asked Peter, he said, but who do you say that I am? I know they say this and they say this, but who do you say that I am? And there's a place in all of our lives where we have to have our own, as we call it, our own history with God. And our own places. And I'll say this for me. I have places in my life and people in my life. When I go back, I'm reminded of the faithfulness of God. When I was first moved up here, the first year I went back home to visit, my pastor, he's retired, but he was still at the church at the time. I said, Dad, just take me up to the church. I just need to go sit. No one's going to be there. I just need to go sit in that church. I just went in the back of the church. And that church to me was a memorial. And I gave my heart to Christ there. And God amazingly touched me right there. Pray for this guy. And all these different places just flooded with the memory of God. And my pastor walked in and I told him, I said, this is just bringing back all this goodness and faithfulness of God. I said, it almost just makes me want to cry. And he said, I know, I do the same thing. And I go back and I said, Lord, I remember what you did in this place. I remember what you did. God gives us people, sometimes they're memorials. And then I remember when this person, when they spoke in my life, when this person spoke in my life, when this person did this, when this person did that. And I can have my own personal, and David, as you walk with God, you make your own history with God. Yours is different from mine. It's going to be different than mine. Mine's going to be different than yours. But it's a personal thing. It says in Psalms, I don't know the address, Israel knew his acts, Moses knew his ways. So Israel could see what God did, but Moses knew the ways and why God. I can learn the ways of God, which how he moves, and I can go back and remember. One thing I did, I mentioned this morning, I have a prayer journal I use at home. Sometimes I write in it more than other times. And I can go back, and I did this some, and read my prayer journal. And oftentimes, if I have something pressing in my life, the Lord will just write it in your prayer journal. And I address my prayer journal. I do this. Father, I just address it to Him like I'm writing to Him. And I can go back and read, and I can say, oh, I remember 7 years ago, this was going on. And what that does is it's a memorial stone for me. Because I can see, God, I was in this place then. I was asking for this then. This was happening. And now I look back in hindsight and say, why am I worried now? Because I see what you did then in that 7 year span. Does that make sense? A prayer journal keeps track of the goodness and the history. When God does something good in your life, write it down. When God speaks something to you, write it down. Write it down. He said God speaks to him in dreams. I was listening to a guy one time, and he said, God, you never speak to me in dreams. And that's a biblical thing. It's all throughout the scriptures. And the Lord told him, well, you never write it down. And so I start doing, if I have a dream, I know it's from the Lord, I write it down. When God really speaks to me, I write it down. If God really spoke to me, like I said Thursday night, I wrote it in my prayer journal to God. I told Andrea, it was Friday night, I said, man, the Lord really spoke to me. She said, what did he say? I said, it's a good question. Let me get my prayer journal. And I was able to read it because I would not have recollected it. Because sometimes the Lord speaks to you, it's so profound, like my words I write down don't articulate what he said. And I can read it, and I said, this, and I said, oh, this just comes back. What comes alive in me? God spoke to me. God did this. God did that. Amen. It's a memorial. It's your own personal history with the Lord. And it shapes us for how we see things. And I can focus. And let me say this too. That doesn't mean that I like to give this analogy. I can't drive down the road looking in the rearview mirror. If I always believe that where I came from is better than where I'm going, I'll constantly pine for the past and I'll miss what God has for me in the future. But I take my past and I say, God, you did this, you did that. And those are all memorial stones, because what you did then, you can do now, you can do in the future, and you'll do greater in the future.
Amen.
Because as I walk with God, as you walk with God, I find that I'm constantly, while we have now hills and valleys, I'm constantly going from strength to strength, from glory to glory, and faith to faith. That's what I'm called to do. So what I experienced 20 years ago was amazing. It's a memorial stone, but I don't camp out there. I look to the future and I say, this was good, and God can do greater here. Amen? And that's a vital thing, because too many people live in the past and they meet God in the past and they build a campsite around that and they're constantly trying to get back rather than go forward. Okay, I've been there myself. And let me say, I'm praying too for a corporate history with God. We have some of that here. What I want to do, and talk to my wife, I want to get a memorial board. I don't know what I'll call it. I'm going to call it a memorial board. Where you can just write down, God did this. God did that. God did this. I told Willie in the healing room, when someone comes in a wheelchair, doesn't need it anymore, with their permission, we'll take their wheelchair and hang it up on the wall out there. And that's about as a memorial of the healing power of God. Amen? A pastor I listened to in South Africa, and his church, one of his walls is just covered with that. All the different healings that God has done there, those are memorials of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Amen? It's important to have that. And it says in verse 6 and 7, it says, when your children ask you, we are called to be a generational people. My primary goal, my primary heart in life is that my children would grow up to experience God and encounter God and know more about God than I do. That's what I want. My heart, when I think of this church, people in this church, all throughout the past history and in the future, is that those who are here 10 years from now will experience God to a greater measure than we do now. Those 20 years from now will experience a greater measure than they do 10 years from now. That you continue to advance and continue to climb, and they can look and say, oh, God did this there, you can do it here now. He did this here, you can do it here now. It's a generational thing. It says this, my dad read this passage at my grandfather's funeral. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's in Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. An inheritance is something I get that I don't have to work for. So if I know someone who received an inheritance, so they received an amazing amount of wealth that someone else worked for. The great picture of salvation, right? And grace and what Jesus did for us on the cross. But there's something too, if you think about it, I love reading books today, books from the past, because I can take in a book something that the Lord processed in someone over a lifetime and read it and say, wow, this is something the Lord's been doing. And immediately, as the old saying goes, my ceiling becomes their floor, or their ceiling becomes my floor. And I'm constantly building. And I'm constantly building on what other people do. And my heart to you is that whether you have children, because some of you don't, or you have grandchildren, there's people in your orbit, people in your sphere, that you can mentor. And you can be a mother and a father too in the spirit. You know, I was thinking this morning, I hope you don't mind me calling up, but Peter, I was thinking about you and Marshall this morning as I was in here praying. I know you pour into him, but someone, not just a natural, but a spiritual inheritance that you keep pouring in. You've got these beautiful kids in Massachusetts. I could go down the list. I've got my kids. And I said, you know what? I want to tell them, we're having Tom Scarella come in September. He has a healing ministry, miracle ministry. One of the reasons I asked him, which I haven't told anyone, is for my kids. Because while Evan's going to be home asleep and maybe Anna, I want Owen to experience it. I want my kids to partake of what the Lord's doing. I want to invest in them. I want them to see. I want to create atmosphere for my kids where I'm reading scriptures to them. I'm having worship. I was encouraged when Aaron spoke and you shared that you have a devotional, I think, you listen to when you take Lincoln. I said, amen to that. What is she doing? She's leaving an inheritance to Lincoln. Amen. Leaving an inheritance to our kids. I'm pouring in. So whether I have a kid or I don't have a kid, there's someone in your life that you can invest in that you want to say, hey, if you don't have a kid, there's people, he's not here this morning. Sean, excellent kid. Invest in him. Pour into him. Tally just gave her heart to the Lord. Someone in here, go be a spiritual mother to her. Invest in her. Pour into her. Speak to her so that she can be a mighty woman of God that God's called her to be. Okay? Why do I have these memorial stones? And I can share what this is what God's done in my life. This is who he is. All these things and more God can do in your life because he never changes. Amen? Okay? I'm going to just end with this. And it says this, that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord. Actually, I'm going to end with something else instead. I'm going to be done. There was 12 tribes, and someone from each tribe came and put the stones. Stone for each tribe here, stone for each tribe there. And it spoke of the faith. Let me add one more point before I get to that, because it's just come to me. One of the reasons the stones were in the water is what I believe, is that when there's a drought, there used to be this lake, Lake Wilson, my wife knows it, back where I live. If we haven't had rain one summer, that thing will get low, and whatever's close to the surface, you start seeing. I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know that was in there. And I say this, there's times in my life where, in a season of drought, where it feels like my water is going low, if I have those stones there, and I can say, you know what? Stones in the water spoke of the power of God. What God can do in your life. And there's times when I feel like my tank is going lower and lower and lower and lower. It's in those moments those stones will start to surface. And I can have those points of contact. I can have those reference points and say, you know what? Though I feel this way, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. My God shall supply all my needs.
Amen.
God is here. He's been there in this place where a prayer journal comes in if you don't have one. Lord, I'm dry. I haven't had any rain in 2 months. I feel like I'm getting ready to touch the bottom. And the Lord will show you it's a season. And that's fine because you get to be reminded. Because like we are in Deuteronomy sometimes, things are going well and I forget. And there's a drought that comes. I'm reminded this is who my King is. Amen.
Amen.
And there's someone from each, back to my initial point that I'm going to close with. I promise you that because it's late. Someone from each tribe came. It speaks of a corporate unity, corporate thing. And someone reminded me this week, and I've preached this here, but when it says Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's Christ in you all, the hope of glory. Which I say in the South, y'all. My wife used to say y'all, and now she moved back here. You never did? I thought you did. I thought you did. Maybe, okay. I was working on her and it didn't work. So, y'all. Christ in you all. There's an individual aspect to our walk with God. And we hear a lot about your destiny. Most of it centered around me. But I say this and I think it's true. I don't think I can fulfill my individual destiny apart from a corporate. Because it's Christ, not just in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you all, the hope of glory.
Amen.
When I'm tied together, when all of us carry our memorial stone and take it over to Gilgal, and you say, man, God, you were faithful. You took us where you said you're going to take us when it looked impossible. Can't cross over there. But you made a way. I took those stones from there, the impossibility of it, and I lay it here in the land where God is faithful. And look at the constant faithfulness of God. It's a stone that represents each tribe. And each person has their part that they carry. If all I have is just mine, I can celebrate, but I'll be lonely in the process. And I'm going to be missing 11 other stones. It won't reach as high. It reaches, but it's not as high. I can't go as high in God without you, and you can't with me. Whether that, however that sounds to you is how it sounds to you, but it's true. I need people in my life, and so do you. And God's tied us together as a church corporately. And I'm going to repeat some of this in the weeks to come because I feel like it's important. I really think it's important. But it's a sermon in stone. What my heart is that all of us together, Brad's got his amazing stories. There's other ones in here too. Different things we've seen. And I can build a heritage and a generation individually of memorial stones, but also corporately that transcends generations. Amen?
Amen.
And someone can come in after me. You know, some, let's say 20 years, this place is filled with completely different people. And they can walk in and say, wow, what is that doing on the wall right there? What is this doing right here? We're in a rough place. God did it then. He can do it through us now.
Amen.
Or I can be in a place and I'm down and out. And I say, you know, I come into church and I say, man, you know, look what the Lord just did with Christina's life. My faith's built in that. Go to a wall back there. There's a prayer request back there. God answered that prayer.
Amen.
Man, I was remembering, you remember when the missionary couple came a couple years ago with the son with that rare blood disorder, and he was prayed for here. And about 2 months later, I got an email from them. And we took him to Boston, met wherever the heck hospital was. And he said, they say it's a miracle. They had him stand up on the thing and say, wow, look at this, what happened? And he says, we attribute to the prayers that were prayed when we were here. Let's don't forget that. Amen. Let's don't forget, brother, don't ever forget what happened to you. Don't forget those things. Mary, there's other things that I've probably forgotten. Immaculate, I've probably forgotten them. Write them down. Write them down. And I go back and say there's a corporate destiny. There's a corporate unity where all of us chip in corporately. And I say, you know what? The plan and purpose for this God, for this church, to touch Connecticut, Rhode Island, everywhere that we are, is a place of memorial, memorial stones, a place of remembrance where God does amazing things in my life personally. He does amazing things in our life here, and we celebrate. Answer my son's question, this do in remembrance of me. Why did Jesus say, do this in remembrance of me? Why did he give us that ordinance? Because he knew we'd forget about it. I would take it for granted. Jesus died on the cross for me. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And I forget about it. No, Jesus, your body was broken for me. I wasn't feeling good yesterday. My wife can tell you, I felt miserable. I came in here to pray. I went back and took communion. I said, Lord, your body was broken for me.
Yes.
And I took that little crack and made sure your body was broken. I remember it. Lord, your blood was shed for me. Lord, you cleansed me. You washed me from my sins.
Amen.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I remember what you did for me. It's not just some little story I hear. It's life, and it's life-giving. It's a memorial. It's remembrance. So I challenge you today. We're going to do it here. I got to talk to my wife where we're going to put it here. But in your individual lives, go home and write down, the Lord did this, the Lord did that, the Lord did this, the Lord did that. Prayer journal, no matter what it is, it's your own little book, but it's your own sermon in stone, it's your memorial stone that you have that you can go back and say, Lord, you did this. I can show it to my kids. I can find someone I'm mentoring. Look what God did here. Look what God did there, and tell your story. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you that you're a good God.